Welcome to the ISF podcast from the Information Security Forum, featuring timely conversations, practical insights, and resources for global cybersecurity professionals. I'm your host, Tavia Gilbert. Today, we're back for the second episode of a two-part conversation around ISF CEO Steve Durbin's Nobel Fest presentation on the AI revolution, democratization, and the ethical dilemma of innovation. If you haven't listened to part one, you may want to go back to that episode and listen to it first. Steve, when we left off last week, you'd given us a pretty positive overview of what responsible AI could do to eliminate or to mitigate discrimination. But as we also discussed, we know that AI is value neutral. So the opposite of responsible AI could also become a reality. So let's start with this question. How can AI be used to facilitate digital discrimination?
Well, Tavia, the design of AI systems can certainly facilitate existing human biases and or discrimination. You know, training data requires human input, regardless of the domain, and is therefore susceptible to human bias. That means bias can be intentionally introduced in the form of algorithmic processing bias through smoothing parameters to mitigate bias, or algorithmic focus bias by using objective categories to make subjective statements. Algorithms then make decisions based on data sets, which contain past decisions, both good and bad, and thus can learn to repeat biased decisions. So data used to train and test AI systems can perpetuate systemic inequalities. For example, let's look at machine learning. One place this can go wrong is with imbalanced training data. Algorithms building the statistical model used for outputs can be trained and tested on data that often underrepresents certain subpopulations, such as women, for instance, people of color, or non-heterosexual populations. Training data is a reflection on past discrimination. Certain domains where discrimination has been a significant problem, for example, in perhaps policing and recruitment, have features that are correlated with characteristics such as race or sexual orientation, even if it doesn't directly analyze these characteristics. Another area where machine learning can reinforce discrimination is through bias in usage. Algorithms used for unintended purposes can result in bias due to application in a population for which they were not built. And there can also be a misinterpretation of an algorithm's outputs.
I also understand that there's AI as a weapon. You know, we can make most anything into a weapon. In your report, you outlined a few threats and what organizations might do to prepare for those threats. So let's go through those here.
Yeah, I mean, one instance of this could be the artificially intelligent malware amplifying attackers' capabilities. So attackers will deploy artificially intelligent malware, for example, that can learn from its environment to identify and exploit new vulnerabilities. Malicious actors we know are already using AI-based tools to aid cyber attacks, for example, for vulnerability identification. While true AI-powered malware may not yet exist, it's not far-fetched to see it becoming prevalent in the not-too-distant future. And of course, the threat to AI systems is also very real. Businesses using them will face multiple malicious and accidental threats, as we've previously discussed on many an occasion. And this means exploits will be identified quicker than ever before, and previously well-protected information could be exposed.
So take us through some steps that organizations can take to fight back against those threats.
Sure. I mean, the first thing I'd recommend is increased investment in AI, particularly machine learning, malware analysis, and reverse engineering. And I'd encourage organizations to consider refocusing resources on detection and remediation, moving to prediction after that.
I understand there's the threat of manipulated machine learning sowing confusion, so compounding, you know, humans that sow confusion. Now we've got machines also helping that effort.
Right. So confusion, obfuscation, deception, these are all things that are used by attackers to manipulate machine learning systems, causing significant damage and disruption to organizations that are reliant upon them. And widespread damage and chaos in some instances can ensue for those dependent on services powered primarily by machine learning. You know, organizations will face significant financial, regulatory, and of course, reputational damage if machine learning systems are compromised.
So how can an organization prepare for that?
Well, first, they need to identify systems which use machine learning and determine how critical they are to the business. And they can also employ technical experts in machine learning to help do this.
There's the concern that AI could industrialize high-impact attacks. Talk to us about that.
Yeah, and you know, we've talked about this before on the podcast. The widespread adoption of automation and the malicious use of AI will lead, I think, to the industrialization of tailored, high-volume, high-impact cyber attacks, leaving organizations overwhelmed and really unable to operate effectively. I recommend that organizations prepare for this by implementing processes and controls that identify AI-powered attacks and allow for the deployment of defensive countermeasures.
In your spare time, you could write a best-selling novel, I think, that would highlight this in fiction, but this sounds pretty overwhelming. So the final threat, trying to use some humor to mitigate the grimness of deepfakes telling true lies. You know, we've discussed deepfakes, which particularly freak me out on the podcast before. So tell us about deepfakes and AI.
Yeah, you know, digital content has been manipulated by AI, and that can be used to create hyper-realistic copies of individuals in real time, deepfakes, as you say, and that, as you rightly point out, that freaks out a lot of people, not just you. Mm. It results in digital communications really being undermined and highly credible fake news spreading. As a result, attackers can cause financial damage, manipulate public opinion, or indeed gain competitive advantage. And I do think, unfortunately, that we're going to see an increase in social engineering attacks, which will, of course, be amplified, and organizations will potentially lose trust in the channels they're using for communication.
So what can be done to prepare for this?
Well, I think it's very important to incorporate an understanding of deepfakes into any security awareness program. Organizations can also, you know, review authorization processes for financial transactions. That's where we're seeing the most interest at the moment from a malicious actor standpoint, to prevent them being compromised by deepfakes.
I think we also need an educated digital society with digital literacy. So I'm going to add my vote to that as a mitigation effort. Now that we've discussed what might go wrong with AI if it's used unethically, let's move on to considerations regarding something we discussed last week: international ethical standards for AI. Talk to us about that.
Yeah, as the uses of AI begin to reach more aspects of our lives, especially in life-altering processes such as, you know, health, medicine, criminal justice, it's really important for governments to act in order to protect citizens from unethical practices. Policymakers need to really look at how they can reduce the information opacity and the veneer of objectivity around AI. So it's all about transparency. How do we increase that? Mm. Because without it, there really are barriers to the individual not being aware of how AI solutions might work. Mm. Connecting algorithmic fairness concerns to existing legal, domestic, and international non-discrimination frameworks is essential to creating effective tools and standards that work across borders and sectors in society. Given the wide-ranging uses of AI, this would ensure the practicality of any potential international ethical standards. But as there's no set definition of fairness for human or machine decisions, mm-hmm. standards are also going to have to include cultural, social, historical, political, legal, and indeed ethical experts to identify an appropriate fairness criterion.
Yes, I like that. Let's do that. That's my favorite thing that we've said so far. All right. I'm assuming that that will bring with it some pretty enormous challenges, as much as I want it quickly.
Yeah, of course. Of course it does. And we know that, don't we? I mean, you know, we've talked many times about regulation and legislation, and the challenge is getting people to agree around that. So where do we go with it? What are some of these challenges? Well, first of all, you know, AI refers to a constantly evolving set of technologies, as if life wasn't difficult enough, that use both big data and smaller data applications, which are used for both automation and augmentation of human capabilities. This makes developing widely applicable ethical standards difficult, to say the least. Mm-hmm. Secondly, compared to traditional forms of discrimination, AI-led discrimination is more abstract, unintuitive, subtle, intangible, difficult to detect. This is a very real challenge for legal protection that currently exists, as it uses intuition to determine when it has occurred. So any set of standards should examine how to include consistent assessment procedures that define a common standard for statistical evidence in detecting automated discrimination. And of course, measurement of biases can be very difficult. For example, training data can be protected. The source code is likely restricted from the public, or an auditor may not know the ways in which a given algorithm is deployed. And we shouldn't underestimate the complexity of trying to get inside an algorithm and look at how it's been written and how it's responding. The implications around privacy that developing AI ethical standards require politically charged, difficult conversations and touch on existing debates. Current privacy laws rely on notice and choice and result in a barrage of notifications asking consumers to agree to lengthy privacy policies that are seldom read. And if applied to AI applications, this could be impossible due to their wide reach.
And I understand that AI is increasingly becoming a focus for regulation. So that demonstrates the reality of AI as a threat. For example, I know that the Bank of England and Financial Conduct Authority recently published a joint paper on the use of AI in the financial sector.
Yeah, that's right, they did. AI regulation is going to be a real challenge. You know, algorithms have been used for commercial purposes for decades. However, advances in processing power, AI and data science, coupled with the availability of huge amounts of data, have combined to make algorithms a must-have business tool. The largest tech firms, I'm thinking particularly people like Facebook, Google, Amazon, are centered around algorithms. Multinational enterprises increasingly develop and deploy them, and many smaller firms now buy off-the-shelf machine learning-based services. The power of these algorithms to adversely affect society or wreak monopolies has led governments and regulators to seek ways to limit any negative impact. This action tries to ensure the sources of data used by algorithms and the outcomes they produce are unbiased. If we look at how you can satisfy regulators, well, that's no easy task either. You know, satisfying regulators can involve retraining algorithms, legal action, significant fines, or implementing changes to ensure they meet desired outcomes. In some cases, organizations have been unable to redevelop the algorithm to meet demands, forcing the system to be scrapped or withdrawn from particular regions because local requirements are simply too hard to meet. Ongoing investigations into combating discriminatory and anti-competitive effects of algorithms by governments, competition authorities, and data regulators will make oversight much more stringent. The OECD estimates that 60 nations have either drawn up or are working on laws and other administrative instruments to govern how algorithms are deployed. Activist groups such as the Algorithmic Justice League are mounting campaigns to name and shame organizations failing to constrain the effects of the algorithms they deploy. In some instances, regulations will tighten existing rules governing the collection and use of data, such as the EU's GDPR, for instance. Other jurisdictions are making more stringent demands. For example, Chinese draft regulations require prior government approval to use algorithms and mandate that machine learning systems have a positive influence on Chinese society. The criteria used to judge influence remains opaque and is likely to contrast with EU or US efforts to oversee the outcomes of algorithms. Similar questions remain about how to define the fairness that Western regulators expect algorithms to produce. Early studies suggest that it can be difficult to ensure algorithms do not drift from a strong starting point to become unfair over time. So bias can emerge when algorithms work in concert to tackle complicated problems. An emergent issue is proxy discrimination, which arises when algorithms use categories that turn out to define groups despite those labels initially appearing to be neutral. The complexity inherent in the creation of machine learning systems brings other risks too. One study suggests algorithms typically involve more than 900,000 lines of code and call on 137 external dependencies. Add to this the oversight demands of regulators, and there is a significant risk that these core business systems and the data they use will simply go astray. AI-powered algorithms, and by implication the intellectual property at the heart of many businesses, are coming under greater scrutiny than ever. Organizations will be forced to expose and justify their algorithms, demonstrate trustworthiness, and ensure outcomes do not unfairly disadvantage any group. If this ongoing and difficult task is neglected, then it will leave organizations open to fines, reputational damage, or regulatory demands to slow the engines that keep an enterprise operating.
So there's a real concern that regulators are going to inhibit data-driven innovation.
yeah, organizations, you know, keen to reap the rewards of creating and using AI-based algorithms to run their businesses are forced to delay as regulators demand that these tools can be approved for use before they're deployed. Organizations risk being stuck in a development spiral as they make sure algorithms do not fall foul of ambiguous legal demands that they operate fairly.
So what would be your recommendations to organizations as they are wading through all the possible new regulations?
Well, first, I think, you know, identify algorithms that are currently in use. I'd also urge them to assure the integrity of all inputs and to build policy and assurance processes to govern development, usage, and fairness.
Can you quickly identify for us, before I let you go, the five areas of focus for ethical, democratized AI?
Certainly, yeah. As we've been saying, ethical AI is artificial intelligence that adheres to well-defined ethical guidelines regarding fundamental values, including such things as individual rights, privacy, non-discrimination, and importantly, non-manipulation. So to that end, I'd recommend first that organizations plan for mitigating risk. They must establish clear protocols in place on how to identify, evaluate, and mitigate the risks. Secondly, they should also identify existing infrastructure that a data and AI ethics program can leverage. Here, a sound governance framework is absolutely key. Organizations should identify changes to regulations that might influence risk and security efforts. Thirdly, organizations must create a data and AI ethical risk framework that is tailored to its industry. Organizations must keep AI risk within acceptable limits. Stress test data centers, cloud providers, networks, backup facilities against enforced digital transformation. Fourth, I would strongly recommend that companies change how they think about ethics, monitor impacts, and engage stakeholders. Risks are now all pervasive. So communicating regularly with key suppliers, reviewing potential exposure to new threats, and implementing alternative operating procedures for those that are no longer needed to meet contractual expectations are the sorts of things that I'm talking about here. You know, break down big ethical concepts like privacy, bias, and explainability into infrastructure, process, and practice that realize those values. And then finally, if that isn't enough and people have got some spare time, perhaps the most important from my standpoint is building organizational awareness in the workforce. This means really creating a culture in which a data and an AI ethics strategy can be successfully deployed and maintained. And that requires educating, upskilling employees, and empowering them, very importantly, to raise important questions at crucial junctures, and indeed, on an ongoing basis, to be able to raise key concerns to the appropriate deliberative body that might exist across the organization.
Well, thank you. There's so much practical insight for our listeners to consider from your presentation and from our conversations. I want to encourage our audience to explore the links in our show notes, which include the reports you cited in your presentation, as well as the technological tools mentioned today from IBM and Google to help create an ethical AI. Listeners, we are going to take a couple weeks off for the summer. But we'll be bringing back some favorite episodes to keep you company through the month of August. We'll pick back up in September, when we return for a new series of conversations. In the meantime, would you open the app you're listening on right now and give our podcast a 5-star rating? If you have a few more seconds, you could also write a quick review. It really makes a difference. Don't forget to check out our catalog of past video and podcast episodes at securityforum.org, which is also where you can find ISF's research, practical tools, and guidance related to discussions like today's. Find us on LinkedIn by searching CEO Steve Durbin or Security Forum. Follow our audio feed wherever you get your podcasts, and you'll never miss an episode. The ISF podcast is produced by TalkBox and Tavia Gilbert, with music by Alexander Filipiak. Senior producer Katie Flood. Mix and master by Kayla Elrod. Thanks for listening. See you in September.